The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, brought to you by Blogging the Boys, Shway Media, and produced by SB Nation and the Vox Media Podcast Network. You know me, folks. My name is Michael Sizemore. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. We're here to talk about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. With me, as always, he is the yin to my yang. He is the Walter Matthau to my Jack Lemmon, the Arn Anderson to my Ric Flair. Without him, I would get in lots of bar fights. Folks, Tom Ryle.
Hey!
You can find him on Twitter at Tom Ryle, BTB. And we're going to talk about some Cowboys stuff here this week. Last week, you know, there was a little bit of stuff to talk about with the coaches. But this week, we're kind of going to play around with what the Cowboys should do in the offseason. And we had such a great conversation over at Blogging the Boys with between us and our cohorts about who should the Cowboys pay, because it seems, Tom, that everybody wants to get paid this offseason.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of kind of key free agents, and there's also some people that are looking at extensions, even though they're not necessarily up for free agency yet. And yeah, the team has a lot of cap space, and a lot of people kind of want a chunk of it.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of these players, you know, they are your best players. We're talking about, you know, everyone knows that they got to do something with DeMarcus Lawrence. You can't let a pass rusher like that walk out.
Yeah.
There's talks about, you know, what can they really offer Cole Beasley? Do they mm-hmm. want to offer Cole Beasley anything? He is going to be 30 years old, but you just saw the Super Bowl. A slot receiver became the MVP of that game. So
yeah,
it just depends on but by the way, one thing I want to say on that, Tom, real quick about the Super Bowl. I find it so funny, as Jack Nicholson would say, I find it particularly piquant that that the Super Bowl ended the way it did when so many – it was all about offense all year long. It was all about scoring all year long. The Chiefs, the Rams, 54-51 on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. And the Super Bowl ends the way it does with a 13-3 victory for the Patriots. They shut down the Rams' offense completely.
Yes.
None of those playmakers mattered on offense. No, Jared Goff didn't really play well. You know, Todd Gurley might be dinged up. We don't know. But none of those playmakers on offense showed up. And the defensive ones that did show up, it didn't really matter in the end.
Yeah. So. And, yeah, it was. It was just irony all over the place.
Oh, no.
And I want to say that, you know, Edelman shouldn't have been the MVP. They should have given it to a defender. That was just I saw that not even one vote went to a defender. And I'm like, what are these people thinking? But anyway,
they want offense to win. That's all they just want offense to always is more the more exciting positions. But I just thought it was great that all this talk all year round, Tom, has been about, oh, offense is the new way. You got to start being so creative on offense. If Jason Garrett scored 3 points in the Super Bowl, he wouldn't have been on the plane back from Atlanta.
Yeah, and everybody would be calling for Dak Prescott's head if he'd put in a performance like that.
Yes.
And bad games can happen to everybody. But, you know, while you're talking about people that they need to make a decision on free agency, don't forget that they've got to figure out what they're going to do with those extensions. You know, you've got Amari Cooper out there.
Yes.
They're talking about Dak Prescott. You know, maybe they want to make a move on him now. And that was a real subject of our conversation. And I just put up something about why it may be wise to make a move on him and how he's going to get a lot more money than a lot of people seem to expect.
Let's go there, Tom. Let's go there. Let's talk about Dak Prescott, because I think a lot of folks on Twitter don't understand where we are here.
That's exactly it. I was going to clarify on that. They do not understand the quarterback market in the NFL.
No, and I think you could put that market is for a lot of different positions, but certainly quarterback. I said last night, Tom, and then I'm going to let you give your rundown of this. When we were talking about this last night and kind of just discussing the what is Dak Prescott worth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some folks said that he's going to get paid, you know, $25 to $30 million, and others were saying, I don't think he's worth that. I said, it doesn't matter what he's worth. You know, quarterbacks get paid.
Yeah. And it's the simple fact is it's a harsh calculation. There are 32 teams in the NFL. You can maybe come up with 20 starter quality quarterbacks.
Generous.
In the league right now. Yeah, generous. Because in the article that is going up, I think, soon, I rattled off 12 quarterbacks that I really did not think were starter quality.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one you might still be able to argue on that list, I think, is Eli Manning and maybe Joe Flacco, who I included, because they just aren't doing much, you know,
mm-hmm.
with what they've got. You know, the Ravens have been winning with defense. Manning, you know, they just had a couple of really bad years.
Let me explain what I mean real quick for you, Tom, like, because I know you know what I mean. But for the folks out there, the reason I said quarterbacks get paid is I look at this like an agent does. If the owner, if Jerry Jones is coming to me and says, I want to extend your client, I want to extend that quarterback, then I know as an agent that he is at least thinking and toying with the idea of, is this my quarterback for the future? Is this my franchise quarterback? Which that means the leverage there is pretty high for the agent, because you're going to look at all these quarterbacks that are getting paid that might not be as good as Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and here's the flip side of that. The Cowboys have pretty much admitted he is the franchise quarterback.
Yes.
They plan for a decade more of him under center or back in the shotgun, which is where he takes more snaps than not, but they've already committed to him. The Kellen Moore, John Kitna moves were going all in on getting him where he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to pay him. They are going to, the whole deal is, if you work out something now, you may save $20, $30 million over the course of the contract than if you let him play out the year and then try to work something out next season.
Well, Tom, I want you to run through those quarterbacks that have been paid recently. You have the information in your post that's going to go up soon, and that will kind of give people the idea.
Actually, I didn't have the list of the quarterbacks who have been paid.
Okay.
But let me see here.
But you can kind of, I want you to, while you look for it, I want you to rattle those numbers off for our listeners and let them know what guys have been getting paid.
Oh,
because some people on that list.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
yes.
about. I was thinking of a different set of numbers. Okay. I had to just scroll up and find it then. Okay. We have to credit one
OCC.
Cool customer. He came up with these numbers.
The Goog, the man.
Okay. April 2017. Lions gave Matt Stafford a 5-year, $135 million deal, $27 million per year. February 2018, the 49ers gave Jimmy Garoppolo a 5-year deal worth $137.5 million, $27.5 million a year. Now, Garoppolo has, you know, he's had just a handful of games when he wasn't injured, and yet he got paid because they said he was the quarterback of the future.
Mm-hmm. He's got less than a season worth of starts.
Yeah. In March 2018, Kirk Cousins signed in Minnesota, $84 million, 3 years, $28 million a year. And he hasn't exactly done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
May 2018, Falcons give Matt Ryan $30 million a year over 5 years, or $150 million.
Mm.
And, okay, you know.
He's got, like, he played in a Super Bowl. We'll give him that. But he before that, he was like Tony Romo.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in August of last year, the Green Bay Packers extended Aaron Rodgers, and it was 4 years, $134 million, $33.5 million a year. Now,
he's worth every penny.
Rodgers is worth every penny. They just don't have a team around him right now.
Exactly.
So you look at these numbers, and, you know, as OCC mentioned, you look at Prescott, you stack him up against that, and the only guy you have to say is clearly ahead of him is Rodgers. So even if you go on the logic of, well, we should slot him in there, we're talking between 30, 33.5 million a year. So 31, 32 million a year for him for a 4 or 5 year deal. Now, that discounts the entire annual inflation as the salary cap goes up.
That's what people need to remember, is the inflation.
Yeah, the cap goes up, and that means the agents are coming harder for more money. And you're also going to have the argument of Aaron Rodgers is probably on his last deal, or at least you have to be considering that it's his last deal.
He may not even see the end of that deal.
Yeah. Dak could have one more deal after this one, probably will. That's what the team's hoping for, unless they go crazy and signing some incredibly long thing. But I think we're looking at a 4 or 5 year deal.
And Tom, Tony Romo got a $67 million extension before he ended up signing a $108 million extension later. So it's very possible this is just one deal before another one. So.
And so you're looking at him. The agent, I've got no doubt in my mind, he's going to come in and be talking $34, $35 million a year off the start. Now, that may be his negotiating position, or he could come in asking for even more, but the argument's going to be like, this is the quarterback that you're looking at for 8 to 10 years.
Yes.
You know, you need to pay him. He wants his money now. He wants, you know, a lot of guaranteed dollars, because a career in the NFL can end in one play. It can end in practice. You know, you just never know when something can come up and happen. So they're going to be talking about a lot of money for Dak Prescott, and there's risk in all the big contracts, but I think four-year quarterback, when you've got a guy that's posted his record, which I believe is now at 33-18, over 3 years, it works out to 65% of the games he's won. When you've got a quarterback and your team is winning that number of games with him, yeah, you're going to invest in him.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is, I think folks need to realize when they think, oh, well, this guy's only worth 15 or 12 to 15 million a year in my mind. Well, guys, that's not the money you're playing with here. The inflation means a lot. Okay, you're not going to pay a quarterback that much.
And the quarterback operates at an entirely different level.
Yes.
It's something apart. You can't really talk about, you know, okay, well, your edge rusher should get... No, sorry. You don't have, you know, one guy out there rushing the passer.
Yes.
You know.
But teams turn over every year because staff and personnel, with their abilities to find a franchise quarterback. If you think you have one, you're going to pay to find out if he is or not.
Yeah, and a lot of teams pay and then find out, well, you know, maybe he isn't.
Yeah, but that's the going rate.
That's what it is. It is a really, it's something I think they need to look at investing in him. I really do.
And early, yeah. Early might be better. Like you said, early might get you a better deal, because then later on you're sitting here looking a year later and you're probably paying him more, like 4 or 5 more a year.
Yeah, there's probably going to be people over 35 million in another year. It's just that's how it's going. Plus, you know, people are going to be looking to sign that last deal before they get to the possible lockout, which is you know, I've got no idea how that factors into thinking, but
yeah,
you know, we've got some labor strife coming up in the NFL, but let's wait till next year to start
exactly.
talking about
and,
that.
But like you said, and this is the last we'll say on Dak, and we'll move. We'll take a quick break and then move on. But Dak Prescott, you're paying your floor is right about $30 million a year, like 29 to $32 million a year.
Yeah, I think that is the low range, and that, yeah. and I'd be kind of shocked if they get at all under 30.
Yes, exactly. That's the price. Well, anyway, we will be right back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. Stick right here. We'll be right back to talk more about free agency. And we are back. So the next thing I wanted to say, we already talked. We know that they're going to re-sign DeMarcus Lawrence. If they don't, they're crazy. We just talked about Dak Prescott. What do you think about extending Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott? Let's start with Amari Cooper.
Yes, I think it'd be smart to get an extension in on him. He's still young. He is your first round draft pick this year.
Yes.
That's just how you think about it, but you're not going to be able to get that rookie contract, so it's going to cost you more. Yeah, he's probably worth somewhere in the $15 to $20 million a year range, yes. And he's your wide receiver one, and he gives you that anchor for your receiving core. Then you got Michael Gallup to be out there with him, and then you've got to sort out who else you've got. But you've got the big gun. And so, yes. Yeah, I think they definitely should look at going ahead and extending him for the same reason. If they wait until he actually hits free agency, it's just going to bump the price up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that Amari Cooper, you should look, for the same reasons we were talking about Dak and just inflation in general, you should look at signing him early. I just think that helps your team. I really do believe that it would be much harder to replace Amari Cooper than it would be to replace this next guy that we're going to talk about. And it's a tough situation here, but Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys running back, the whole offense is based on what they can do with Ezekiel Elliott. They, you know, are getting rid. They got rid of the offensive coordinator because they don't believe that part of it, that he was using his players correctly or using the entire skill set that is available to him of guys like Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. So Zeke Elliott, there's rumors that he would like to get an extension as well. You know, the Cowboys love Ezekiel Elliott, but the history with DeMarco Murray is not that far behind us, Tom. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that the Cowboys will eventually say, this is the NFL and running backs, we do not value that? Or do you see them paying Zeke Elliott? Or what do you think about the Ezekiel Elliott possible extension rumors?
Wow. First off, the problem is we're lacking some information here. Yes. And that is, we don't really know what Kellen Moore has in mind for this offense. We don't know what he and Jason Garrett are talking about doing. Are they looking at moving away from the run-centric offense that they've had for the past 3 years? If they do that, then suddenly, yeah, you're not going to be in a hurry to extend Ezekiel Elliott. You've still got another year under contract and the fifth-year option you can call in.
Boom.
And so what does Elliott want to do? I mean, is he going to try to pull a Le'Veon Bell and sit out a season? You know, that would create an interesting set of problems. But the real thing, and this is what a lot of people just don't seem to quite catch on to. You can plug and play so many people at running back. And if you've got a good offensive line, hint, hint, Travis Frederick is hopefully going to be back, then you don't need to have the best running back in the league to make your offense work. You need a good running back who can go out, be an 11, 1,200-yard carrier, get you a second back who can give you 400 or 500 yards in relief, and you're good. You're good to go.
Yeah, but Tom, yeah. I would argue he's special.
He is special.
He is very special. He's a different type of running back. He's not a normal plug-and-play running back. He is more than that.
Yeah, but you have to ask yourself, is he that special thoroughbred horse at the Indy 500?
Is he Adrian just Peterson worthy? I think so.
Yeah, I just don't know if he is the right thing to have. And
well, let me put it this way, Tom. I think that DeMarco Murray was more of a product of the most amazing offensive line since the 1990s Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think Zeke does a lot more than what the offensive line has been able to give him sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And I think he could certainly do a lot more if the line is healthy. Here, we're just trying to talk dollars, cents, resource investment, and I really don't know. Now,
I don't think you extend him right now. I'm with you. I think you wait a little while.
I think you at least try to get to next year, and it's going to take some diplomacy and finesse just to say, look, we need to get through this season and then see where we are, and we can look at things on your option year. Or, you know, maybe they can, you know, before they, you know, they can go ahead and exercise the option, then possibly negotiate an extension during the spring of next year. Yeah. So it's just, there's a lot going on. I think the main thing is don't be in a hurry to commit a lot of your cap dollars to him.
Yeah, I think in the end, I agree with you. I was trying to play a little devil's advocate there, but I do agree with you. I think Zeke Elliott, though, is a special back. You know, as compared to DeMarco Murray, but I do think you wait on that just because that's a lot to just, you know, divvy out to Zeke Elliott when you don't know what your offense is going to be. You don't know what it's going to change into. Now let's move into some free agency in the last couple of minutes. Let's talk about real quickly. Would you put an extension out there to Cole Beasley, or would you let him walk?
I would make him an offer, but I would not be concerned about getting outbid.
Okay. Okay.
He is kind of like Anthony Hitchens was last year.
Exactly. He's a nice to have, but he's not a necessity.
Yeah. And it's a little bit risky. I love Beasley as a player. I feel like this is going to be another financial thing where they're just going to say, okay, we've only got so much to spread around. We've got a lot of important contracts we got to sort out. Mm-hmm. Now, if they decide perhaps to forego some of these for another season or two, then maybe they'll free up the money for him. But I'm leaning towards Beasley going somewhere else, and I would not be surprised to see him with the Patriots, to be
exactly, exactly. But here's what I think Cole Beasley is going to find out. I think that Cole Beasley is going to find out what the real value for a slot receiver actually is versus what he thinks it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of players find that out when they go to free agency.
Yeah.
You're just, I don't think, if you think, if Cole Beasley thinks that he should be paid, you know, with, you know, the top receivers in the league,
he's not.
I would still pay a Golden Tate before I'd pay a Cole Beasley, and Golden Tate's older.
Yeah, I think he ought to, it's worth shopping himself around. Somebody may bite and be willing to give him a little bit more money, but
a couple of good slot receivers in that draft.
Yeah, so and it's also possible he may just go out, shop himself around, not really like the offers or the situations out there, and the Cowboys have something, an offer on the table, then he may wind up coming back to it. And they, you know, everybody may be kind of happy before it's all done with. But
yeah, and I got another question for you, Tom. Tight ends in free agency, do or don't go find a tight end? I say don't. I say don't. I don't think any of them are going to offer you much.
I'm kind of excited about this tight end class in the draft. And yes, please understand, when I say that, I'm basing that on what I'm hearing from other people. I am not a tape grinder myself. You know, I can't sit there and tell you who's a great prospect and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But there seem to be some great day two and day three tight end options, which of course is extremely pertinent to the Cowboys.
Yes. And when you look at free agency and tight ends, there's nobody, you know, the top tight end that's hitting free agency this year is Jesse James. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he's kind of in the mold of a Jeff Swaim, but just a little bit better at the point of attack and stuff. Like, I don't know that he is worth going and throwing money at a tight end when you got a young class of tight ends that people are a little excited about. I would wait on that.
Yeah, and I want to see if is Swaim going to come back.
Yes.
I don't know what the situation is with him, but do you really want to look at bringing somebody else in when you may be able to get him healthy? And you know, if they rolled into training camp with Swaim, Schultz, and I've lost the other one's name.
Blake Jarwin.
Yeah, Jarwin. If they had those three plus a draftee, and then, you know, then maybe if they feel like they need a little more depth, they could look at maybe signing someone. But that would definitely be the thing where they go to their famous bargain bin and
Which,
see who's out there.
That's why I'm keeping an eye on Tyler Eifert, who has a hit injury history.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just would like to see what happens with Tyler Eifert. I know he's got a lot of playmaking ability, but he's injured every single season.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see what happens in free agency for Tyler Eifert, because maybe he ends up in the bargain bin and you can get a pretty decent deal and not have to actually give him and invest in him too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next, so if you're not going there, do you look at wide receivers? I would kind of, again, that's where I would, you know, kind of be cruising the bargain aisles.
Yes.
And just, you know, see who might pop up and who isn't getting a lot of action. Plus, you know, maybe you bring Tavon Austin back, because talk about getting spit, you can get somebody cheap. There's not going to be any market for him.
No. And he's got game-breaking speed. That's one thing he's always had, and he even showed that several times this year.
And I would say, you're primarily going to sign him as a return specialist.
Exactly. Because without him, the return game is trash.
So I think there's a good chance they may bring him back on something friendly. Other than that,
I want to spend on swing tackle in free agency. I want a veteran swing tackle. And I think that you could just re-sign, see what it would cost to re-sign your own guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, re-signing Cam Fleming. But I want to look at swing tackle, because I think, you know, there's – you're not going to go and get, you know, one of the top tackles out there. Like, Jared Veld here is the top tackle on the market right now. But he, on PF, if you read PFF, a lot of people don't read into their grades much. He was only like 4 or 5, you know, points higher than what the Cowboys had with Cam Fleming.
And he's 31. He's five years older.
And he's five years older. But I would look at paying a veteran tackle to be your swing tackle, because I don't think it's going to cost you that much, but I think it's better than having a rookie there.
Yeah, and that's one where Fleming may be the guy, but yeah, you probably want to have a veteran swing tackle in your pocket going into camp, or at least going into the draft. And then maybe you draft someone to come in and compete for that job.
Hey, you and I, Tom, we love drafting offensive linemen every year. I don't care.
Yeah, I think they're going to pick up somebody.
If you're good at it, why stop?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see them going with an interior offensive lineman. And quite frankly, that's, to me, is just a tribute to Joe Looney. You get Travis Frederick back, then Looney becomes your interior backup man on game day.
You get Connor Williams in the weight room.
Yeah, and that's good. But, you know, if you're just talking about having to add somebody, I don't think there's any pressure at all to try to get an interior offensive lineman right now.
Okay, there's one last position I want to ask you about, Tom.
Okay.
Defensive tackle.
Oh, let's go find somebody.
In free agency, right?
Yeah.
I might even go free agency and draft somebody.
Oh, I agree. I think there's enough room on the the roster for that, and there is a long list of free agents out there. So, you know, and a lot of guys.
The Cowboys like. They like Sheldon Richardson. He has not proven to be the best first round pick ever, and he's had to sign a lot of prove it deals.
Yeah.
So and, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. And also, Tom, I wanted to ask, I'm talking about defensive tackle. I think that when you go back and you look at the Rams loss, that was a big problem. You just did not have guys that can move, that could, you know, stay in their gaps, because there was a great offensive line on the other side of them pushing them out of their position constantly. And I think that that was a big problem for them in that game, was stopping the run because they were getting beat up front.
Yeah. And this is the one position where I think they might look at an older guy too.
Yes.
If they've got an older proven guy who's still playing at a high level, or at least a good level, who they feel fits the system, and who's not going to break the bank. But yeah, I would definitely want to shore it up with at least one free agent going in, because you're still going to be looking at the draft, because it's like tight end. There's a lot of good defensive tackle talent coming out of college this year.
Only two different defensive tackles that are free agents are going to get big deals. That's Grady Jarrett and Ndamukong Suh. And Ndamukong Suh might still have to sign a one-year big deal. That's it. So you don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, he's just getting old.
Yeah, he's getting old now, long in the tooth.
But this is one where you're going to look at the second wave, and then maybe the third wave for the Cowboys. And I'm happy with that. You know,
me too.
It's as we've said, they don't have a crying free agent need where we've got to go out and find the starter at position X.
No,
they are looking for backup, for guys that are going to come in and shore up some depth. Somebody that can be more a rotational player than have to come in and start.
That's why there's nowhere that really is a bad place for them to look.
That's right.
They can add people anywhere.
And they can stick with their preferred philosophy of probably going with just the bargain bin.
Yeah. Unless, I don't think you're going to really, you're not going to give out big money, I think, to anybody unless you go for, go for it, Tom.
Unless they decide to bite on Earl Thomas.
Oh, we couldn't go one show without mentioning it.
You want to talk free agents?
Yeah.
He's the $64 million free agent question in Dallas.
Exactly. What is Chris Richard going to sell off to get him? I want to
know.
Chris Richard is going to put Rod Marinelli in a closet while he goes and gets defensive tackles. Because Marinelli doesn't value beef. And then Chris Richard's going to say, can I pretty please have Earl Thomas?
But, you know, if you're going to pay big money for a safety,
it's got to be one like him.
Yeah, but is he really the only one with his injury history? I mean, the guy has some unique talent in his ability to diagnose stuff. But
the injury history might make him cheaper.
It might make him cheaper, but if it doesn't, there are some really interesting names on the free agent list. I don't know how it would all fill in with Chris Richard's.
Well, Tyrann Mathieu, but don't even mention him, Tom. He doesn't fit our scheme. Tyrann Mathieu fits everyone's scheme. Come on.
I was just sitting there going, let the sarcasm drip.
Trey Boston is a strong safety. No, he's not. He's only played free, Stephen. He's only played free his whole entire career. Anyway.
Eric Reed may be one of those guys who's cheap because everybody's scared of the protest thing.
Oh, my God. Oh.
So, yeah, if you are going to go in for a pretty decent or high-cost free agent contract,
LaMarcus Joyner.
Yeah, then why not go for safety, and why limit yourself to one name? I think that is where they ought to be looking, because I think they can find someone that would upgrade, that could go in there and line up with Xavier Woods, put Jeff Heath back into a more of a rotational role. He's still going to be important, but maybe you don't have to lean on him as much.
Yeah.
And there's just, you look at the list of names and it just goes on, and you're going wow.
Point I'm going to say, and we're going to just blow this whole thing up. We're going to leave this on a great note. Let's go pay a kicker. I need a kicker. Matt Bryant's 43. He can start for me.
I think that is one. You know, that's the only thing. There's there's some kickers out there, and there's some old kickers out there.
Yeah, they old. They old as you, bud.
Not quite.
Actually, some of them might be older.
Yeah, no, not quite.
No, Morten Andersen is still active. All right, guys, we're done joking with you here. That's all we got for you today. Thanks for joining Tom and I again. We really appreciate you guys listening to us every week. We will be talking about free agency. We will be talking about the draft. We will have everything. We will have guests of honor. Danny Fannin will be on the show. Other people will be on the show. It is the off season, which means it's the best part of the year. We're building the team. So follow him on Twitter at TomRileBTB. Follow me at Mr. Sizemore. Follow us at Blogging the Boys, at Bruising the Boys. And take care. Until next time, Cowboys Nation, we'll see you later.
Bruising the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Rile. For more, visit bruiseandtheboys.com.